Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mani Mamre Ben Ram Gold. Hi, and today we're Bab Metzia Daf Tzadi Beis. The seventh parak is Socher as a poem. The seventh parak has been generously sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Marcel and Tammy Scheinman, Lezecha Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Zion Ben Yaakov. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission states, Ochel po kishus afil bidinar. A worker may eat a cucumber, even if worth a dinar. Kosevis afil bidinar, or eat a date, even if worth a dinar, and it's worth more than his entire wages. Blazer Chismat says a worker cannot eat more than his pay. The Chumim permitted, but we teach him not to be a glutton, which will discourage people from hiring him. The Gemara asks that the Chumim seem to hold the same position as the Tanakhama, and first explains that they disagree if we advise him against gluttony. Alternatively, they argue about Ravasi's ruling. Afilu eschar alipsor eshkol echad ochel. Even if he only hired him to pick a single grape cluster, he may eat it. The Tanakhama subscribes to this view and means to allow eating the only cucumber a date he was hired to harvest. In the third explanation, they argue about another ruling of Ravasi, that even if a worker only picked a single grape cluster, he may eat it. The Gemara proceeds to explain the novelty of each of Ravasi's two rulings. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Po Mishal Lohu Ochel? Does a worker eat his own food, O Mishal Shamayim Hu Ochel? Or does he eat heaven's food? That is, do we consider the worker's entitlement to food an addition to his wages, and they belong to him, or are they a charitable gift, similar to those given to the poor from one's field? A nafkamina emerges where the worker says, Tnu Ishtu Ubanai, give the produce I'm entitled to eat to my wife and children. If his right to eat is Mishal, he may give it to whomever he pleases. But if he only eats Mishal Shamayim, he cannot. L'didei Zachil Rachmana. To him, Hashem granted the right to eat. L'ishto banav Zachil Rachmana. To his wife and children, Kosh Baruch Hu did not grant such a right. Numerous proofs are brought to resolve the question. And point number three, a proof is suggested from the Mishal on the next daf. Kotzetz Adam al yidei atzma. A worker may stipulate for himself to receive money instead of his right to eat produce. He may do the same for his adult children, his wife, or his adult slaves when they work for others, mifnei sheyesh behen das, because they have intelligence and agreed to waive their right to the produce. However, one cannot stipulate for his minor children, nor his minor slaves, because they lack intelligence to waive their right to produce. The Gemara assumes the case is b'mala and mazonos, where he provides them with sustenance and is therefore entitled to their wages. Still, he cannot stipulate for minors, which proves that the right to eat produce is mishal shamayim and outside his jurisdiction. Although the Gemara deflects the proof, it then quotes a braisa taught by Rabbi Hoshaya, which teaches that one can stipulate for his minor slaves. After a lengthy discussion, the Gemara concludes that this issue is the point of contention. The Braisa holds one's right to produce is Mishalo, so the owner can stipulate to receive compensation for it. And the Mishnah holds this right is Mishal Shamayim. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Ochel po kishos afil bidinar. A worker may eat a cucumber, even if worth a dinar. Kosevis afil bidinar, or eat a date, even if worth a dinar, and it's worth more than his entire wages. Blazer Chismat says a worker cannot eat more than his pay. The Chumim permitted, but we teach him not to be a glutton, which will discourage people from hiring him. The Gemara asks that the Chumim seem to hold the same position as the Tanakhama, and first explains that they disagree if we advise him against gluttony. Alternatively, they argue about Ravasi's ruling. Afilu eschar alipsor eshkol echad ochel. Even if he only hired him to pick a single grape cluster, he may eat it. The Tanakhama subscribes to this view and means to allow eating the only cucumber a date he was hired to harvest. In the third explanation, they argue about another ruling of Ravasi, that even if a worker only picked a single grape cluster, he may eat it. The Gemara proceeds to explain the novelty of each of Ravasi's two rulings. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Po Mishal Lohu Ochel? Does a worker eat his own food, O Mishal Shamayim Hu Ochel? Or does he eat heaven's food? That is, do we consider the worker's entitlement to food an addition to his wages, and they belong to him, or are they a charitable gift, similar to those given to the poor from one's field? A nafkamina emerges where the worker says, Tnu Ishtu Ubanai, give the produce I'm entitled to eat to my wife and children. If his right to eat is Mishalo, he may give it to whomever he pleases. But if he only eats Mishal Shamayim, he cannot. L'didei Zachil Rachmana. To him, Hashem granted the right to eat. L'ishto Banav Zachil Rachmana. To his wife and children, Kosh Baruch Hu did not grant such a right. Numerous proofs are brought to resolve the question. And point number three, a proof is suggested from the Mishnah on the next daf. Kotzetz Adam al yidei atzma. A worker may stipulate for himself to receive money instead of his right to eat produce. He may do the same for his adult children, his wife, or his adult slaves when they work for others, mifnei sheyesh behen das, because they have intelligence and agreed to waive their right to the produce. However, one cannot stipulate for his minor children, nor his minor slaves, because they lack intelligence to waive their right to produce. The Gemara assumes the case is b'mala and mazonos, where he provides them with sustenance and is therefore entitled to their wages. Still, he cannot stipulate for minors, which proves that the right to eat produce is mishal shamayim and outside his jurisdiction. Although the Gemara deflects the proof, it then quotes a braisa taught by Rabbi Hoshaya, which teaches that one can stipulate for his minor slaves. After a lengthy discussion, the Gemara concludes that this issue is the point of contention. The Braisa holds one's right to produce is mishalo, so the owner can stipulate to receive compensation for it. And the Mishnah holds this right is mishal shamayim. All right, so now we get our siman dav tzadi beis, and our standard siman is tzav, turtle. So here goes. While one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children. As a third worker ending a shift walked away with the money he received in lieu of not eating the produce. Once again, it's a motion. While one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm, turtle, that must mean dav tzadi beis, tzav. While one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ochel po kishus afil bidinar. A worker may eat a cucumber even if worth a dinar, or eat a date even if worth a dinar, and is worth more than his entire wages. Eliezer Chisma says a worker cannot eat more than his pay. The Chamim permit it, but we teach him not to be a glutton, which will discourage people from hiring him. So, while one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Polo mishalohu ochel, does a worker eat his own food? Or mishal shamayim hu ochel, or does he eat heaven's food? That is, do we consider the worker's entitlement to food an addition to his wages, and they belong to him, or are they a charitable gift, similar to those given to the poor from one's field? A nafkamina emerges where the worker says, "Tnu ishtu uvanai, give the produce I'm entitled to eat to my wife and children." If his right is mishalo, he may give it to whomever he pleases. But if he eats only mishal shamayim, he cannot. Hashem granted the right for him to eat, but not for his wife and children to eat. So, while one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children. As a third worker ending a shift walked away with the money he received in lieu of not eating the produce, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Kotzetz Adam al Yidei Atzmo, a worker may stipulate for himself to receive money instead of his right to eat produce. He may do the same for his adult children, his wife, or his adult slaves when they work for others, because they have intelligence and agree to waive their right to the produce. However, one cannot stipulate for his minor children, nor for his minor slaves, because they lack intelligence to waive their right to produce. So once again, while one worker hired to harvest carrots on the turtle farm was eating lots of them worth more than his wage, while hungry turtles looked on, another worker told the owner to give the produce he's entitled to his wife and children. As a third worker ending a shift walked away with the money he received in lieu of not eating the produce. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach hazara. Daf peches. So the simon daf peches is a pach, a garbage can or dustbin. So here goes. The farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept. Garbage cans, that must be on daf peches, pach. The farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to miser, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos, at which point produce becomes obligated in miser. Is it when it enters the house or enters the courtyard? So the farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to miser, while he let his workers also eat from the detached produce in the field, which reminds us, on the previous stop, the Gemara provided the source that a worker may eat from produce he's working on, which is attached to the ground. We also know that an ox or any animal working with detached produce may eat from it, from the prohibition to muzzle an animal while it's threshing detached grain. The Gemara seeks the source that a human worker may eat from detached produce he's working with, as taught by our Mishnah. So the farmer knowingly brought his tevel into his courtyard where garbage cans were kept, making it biblically subject to miser, while he let his workers also eat from the detached produce in the field, while his animals also ate from produce that was attached. Which reminds us, the Gemara then asks, Shor b'machuber manalan, from where do we know an ox's allowance to eat from attached produce? Rabina says that both the laws of a human eating detached produce and an animal eating attached produce may be derived from the pasuk, which prohibits muzzling an ox. Since all animals are included in this law, why did the Torah mention ox? It teaches akushi chosim v'nechsim v'nechsim v'chosim, to compare the muzzler to the muzzled and the muzzled to the muzzler. Just as the human muzzler may eat attached produce, the muzzled animal may as well. And just as the muzzled may eat detached produce, the muzzler may as well. Daf pei tes. So the simon daf pei tes is a chalent pot. So here goes. The worker used a big chalent pot. Chalent pot? That must be on daf pei tes. The worker used a big chompa with the word daish on it to work in the field, while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of Gemar Malacha before the chiyuv of Meiser and Chala, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes a series of four braises, each darshining the word daish, threshing, written by the Muslim prohibition, requiring another similarity to daish regarding a worker right to eat. So the worker used a big chompa with the word daish on it to work in the field while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of Gemar Malacha before the chiyuv of Meiser and Chala, gave his wife a chompa to toast the grain. He collected, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Poel Moshe Yehavhe Be'ur Be'yochel, what's the halacha regarding a worker toasting produce in a fire and eating it? Is this similar to a worker eating something together with the produce to enhance his flavor and increase his appetite, which is forbidden? Our question concerns luxury pera, producing the produce to be more appetizing without adding another ingredient, and where one's wife or children toast the produce for him, so there's no bitul malacha. So the worker used a big chompa with the word daish on it to work in the field while he ate from gedulei karka at the time of Gemar Malacha, before the chiyuv of Meiser and Chala, gave his wife a chompa to toast the grain he collected, after she salted two grapes, making them chayiv in Meiser, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses salting produce regarding Meiser obligations because salting produce completes its processing. Rava ultimately explains that salting one's fruit would not obligate it in Meiser, but regarding two at a time, dipping in salt establishes the Meiser obligation similar to stipulating. Dav Tzadi, so the Simur Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. That tzedakah collector tzedakah, that must be more on Dav Tzadi. That tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that if one muzzles animals which are threshing truma or miser grain, he doesn't violate the muzzling prohibition. Still, because of Maris Ayin, he must put food in a bag attached to its mouth. So the tzedakah collector, he used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha about a man saying to a nachri, muzzle my cow and thresh with it? Do we say that amir l'nachri shvus, telling a Gentile to violate a prohibition for Jews, is rabbinically forbidden only with regard to Shabbos, d'isur skila, which is a prohibition punished by stoning, whereas muzzling, which is amir lav, is not forbidden to instruct a Gentile to do, or is it equally prohibited to instruct a non-Jew to violate a law for Jews, such as muzzling? So the tzedakah collector used a muzzle shaped like a pushka to muzzle his ox when it threshed truma grain, was horrified when someone took one of his muzzles and instructed a nachri to muzzle his ox to thresh with it, and then heard another man muzzle his ox with his voice, shouting at it to prevent it from eating while threshing. Which reminds us, Amrayan discussed transgressions performed by voice, chasam b'kol, regarding one who muzzled by voice alone, meaning he shouted at it to prevent it from eating while threshing, minhiga b'kol, or he led the animal by voice while it was yoked together with another species, violating kalayim. Rabbi Yochanan said he's liable to malchus, and Rish Lakish said he's not. Rabbi Yochanan holds that kimas piv havya maisa, bending his mouth to create sound, is considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Rish Lakish holds, kala l'havya maisa, making sounds is not considered sufficient action to incur malchus. Dav tzadi off, so the simmer dav tzadi off is an exit sign. So here goes. The man getting lashed and paying under the base an exit sign, that must be more on dav tzadi off, say yitziyah. The man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa, chosim is a par v'dashba loka, one who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives lashes and pays the owner 4 kavs for a cow and 3 kavs for a donkey, which are the estimated amounts the animals would have eaten. The Gemara asks that the rule is ain loka mishalim, one does not receive lashes and also pay money for one violation. 3 answers are given. So the man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Hayos miyadav, avalob raglav, even if he was working with his hands but not his feet, or his feet but not his hands, or even with just his shoulder, this worker may eat from the produce. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, Achiyas miyadav uberaglav, he cannot eat unless he works with both his hands and his feet. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asks, what's the halacha if one threshes with geese or chickens whose weight rests only on their feet, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold the critical similarity to an ox's work is b'kol kochel b'inan? We require that it work with all its ability, which would be satisfied by fowl threshing by foot, or does he literally require threshing with hands and feet, which is lacking in the case of fowl? This question is left unresolved. So the man getting lashed and paying under the basin exit sign for borrowing a neighbor's ox and using a muzzle shaped like an exit sign was shocked to see a chicken cross the road to thresh and eat, while its owner was eating from one grapevine after harvesting from a different grapevine. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hayos b'te'enim v'yocha ba'anavim. If he's working with figs, he may not eat grapes. If he's working with grapes, he may not eat figs. However, he may hold himself back from eating until he reaches superior fruit and eat his fill there. The Gemara asks, if he's working with one grapevine, may he eat from another grapevine? All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss why the Malachim asked Avram about Sarah's whereabouts? That's on daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a machlokes is whether a worker can eat more than his wages? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have the source that animals may also eat from attached produce? That's on daf Peches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a question of a worker is working on one grapevine may eat from another grapevine? That's on Duff. Tzadiyav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we have a question whether the produce the worker is eating from is considered his own food and therefore he could say give it to his wife, or the produce is Shel Shamayim and he cannot? That's on Duff. Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we discuss salting produce regarding Maestro obligations? That's on Duff. Pay task. Number 7, which daf do Malkos, at which point produce becomes obligated in Meister? That's on daf Peches. Good. Number 8, which daf do a worker may stipulate for himself to receive money in lieu of his right to eat the produce? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 9, which daf do that one who muzzles a neighbor's cow and threshes with it receives Malkos and pays the owner? That's on daf Study off. Good. Number 10, which depth of the question if one is transgressing if he muzzles by voice by shouting at the animal not to eat while threshing? That's on Dav. Tzadi. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.